How many of you get Brother Hiltabiddle's newsletter? Didn't you get that at home? And again, I mentioned, as I've been studying prophecy, what a blessing his messages have been to. I've listened to just about all of them that I bought the complete set of his prophecy messages, and some of them were, well, most of them are quite a few years old, and you can see how much closer we are to the second coming today than we were when he preached them 10 years ago. And we are right up to the end of time. And oh, how we as Christians need to wake up and understand the day that we live in and get our focus right and get our eyes back in the Word of God and get in our faces before God. I want to share his letter that I just got. I've been trying to get a hold of him. And I knew that he had been sick. We shared some things with you in the past. Proverbs, this is, I'm just going to read the whole thing. I'm trying to figure out what I can leave out for the sake of time, but I'm just going to read the whole letter. This is his prayer letter that he sends out. He starts out with Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The verse has certainly played itself out in my life, he said, the ministry since April Fool's Day. I just finished a very good meeting in Eastern Maryland and had driven down to visit a pastor friend in Annapolis when things changed. I had been fighting a sinus infection, and I get them far too often. So that morning I went to the walk-in clinic. I started some medication since the doctor believed I had a slight case of pneumonia, which again is nothing new for me. I drove down to my friend's and wasn't feeling very well, but I thought it was the bronchitis. Then came the phone call that changed my tomorrows for quite a long time. The pastor I'd just been with called and said, Dr. H, I wanted to tell you that 18 of us have just tested positive for COVID. I thought you might want to be checked. Talk about being knocked off your feet. Brother Creed guided me to a clinic he used to, and sure enough, the x-ray confirmed pneumonia. I went to the hotel that I had checked into 3 hours before and checked out. I started a 13-hour drive home at 7 p.m. only to get caught at midnight in a blinding snow and ice storm in West Virginia. The border and state troopers had closed the road. A long story shortened, I finally got home the next afternoon and didn't think I was feeling too bad. That changed the next few days and for 17 days after. Praise the Lord, he brought me through, but my lungs that were already damaged from Agent Orange are now not yet fully recovered. My schedule of meetings has been canceled for over 2 months, and I'm just now returning to a lighter schedule. One of the many blessings during this time is that God has sustained us financially. The two clinics I went to were connected to the VA, and because I have full coverage, there's no cost to me. Secondly, several pastors and their churches have sent gifts to help keep us on our feet. In fact, I'd like to send them a gift. Where'd Brother Rex go? He slipped out. I thought he had to go get a smoke, but no. and our treasurer, I think we could send him $500 to help him out. All favor that, say amen. That's a business meeting. You just missed it, okay? And he says, I'm trying to reschedule meetings with pastors, and I'm trying to connect with him to schedule a meeting here to help, because he's got a whole lot more information that I could never ever share with you concerning prophecy to build on the messages I've been preaching in the mornings. And I'd appreciate your prayers as we start traveling again. At the present time, I realize that I have some limitations in preaching since I get out of breath and a dull, aching pain comes in my chest when trying to preach with any enthusiasm. My breathing is not as it was, and I get tired a little quicker, but I'm moving forward. We're no doubt living in the closing days of this age, as the stage is rapidly preparing for the tribulation to come after our exodus in the rapture. My brother Goodwin and my partner in the TV ministry, Prophecy in the Spotlight. By the way, if you're not watching that, I encourage you to watch that. It'd be better than any silly news that you're watching today. And I are holding 4-day prophecy conferences in Walker, Michigan, the first week of August. These meetings are flexible to fit a pastor in his church and provide information If you'd be interested, and I am interested in getting that scheduled here if we can. And then he says, I do believe we are living in biblical times for the second coming of Christ. Just as folks were in the first coming of Christ, the rise of spiritual darkness that has swept across the world is a reflection of the same darkness that swept through Christianity in a greater part of today's quote-unquote ministries. At his first coming, even the spiritual leaders were oblivious as to who he was, and so it is today with our spiritual leaders, quote-unquote. The spirit of fear generated by COVID issue and a supposed vaccine will further the cause of Antichrist spirit, bringing pressure against true Christianity. I can, if I can be of any assistance to you, and would say this, as far as the COVID, I was going to make a whole message on that, and the COVID, I just call it the COVID silliness. When this whole thing started over a year ago, I never heard what a coronavirus is. And of course, now everybody's an expert on it, right? But my understanding is I heard a number of doctors explain what a coronavirus is. By the way, you can't even look this up. Every time you try to look it up, now it jumps immediately to COVID-19. It's hard to find information now on what a coronavirus is. This is one of millions of different coronaviruses. A coronavirus is what the common cold is. A number of doctors have explained that there is no cure and no such thing as a vaccine for a coronavirus. And that's what the COVID-19 is, a type of COVID. I know it's a unique one, but it's going to constantly keep mutating just like a cold does. Usually when you get a cold, you don't get another one that season, but you might get another one. You might even get two or three in a season, and that's just the reality. But the thing that bothers me the most is how the devil is using this to divide people, even God's people, the vaccinated, the non-vaccinated. You take the mark of the beast. If you got that, I'm going to talk to you about the mark of the beast sometime down the road. And I don't think this is anything of that nature. In fact, it's very obvious to me. This is just a very small tool in the devil's toolbox that's pushing the divisiveness in our world. And that's all it is. The devil just finding anything he can to divide, whether it's supposed racism, whether it's a supposed vaccine or a sickness. And this is just, as I say, well, you're reading too much of this. I don't really care for the, I quit watching regular news a long time ago of any brand, conservative or liberal, because I learned a long time ago they're selling you a product and I'm not buying any of their products. And by the way, if you're watching the news constantly, just remember, they're selling you a product. The only source of news that I read quite regular is the Babylon Bee. Because at least you know they're joking about things. The rest of it, I don't care if it's conservative news or the liberal news, that's, to me, it's hilarious. If you just sit back and watch and look at what they're trying to sell you and their sales techniques that they're using with the so-called news today. But I would encourage you to shut that stuff off and get into this book. And when you get in this book, fall on your face before God and get up and tell somebody about Jesus. Stop the silly, petty arguing about this and that and the other. But I want you to turn tonight to 2 Timothy. When I think about prophecy, in fact, this is a chapter that I want to challenge you, and I'll challenge God's people to memorize Scripture. A preacher long ago was a challenge to me, somebody I only met a couple of times personally, but listened to him a lot on the radio. And he gave me a challenge in listening to his preaching to learn to memorize chapters of the Bible. And this is a chapter of the Bible that the day that we're living in, you cannot go wrong in memorizing this chapter. I've preached from this chapter before. And just since the time I've been here, it's been 31 years, it seems like 3 years, but it's been 30 years, I remember preaching out of this chapter in the past and saying, this is the television. This is what you're watching. This is, in fact, I preached a message at a couple of different places in the first few verses of chapter number 3. This is a television guide. Remember the television guide? Do they still have those around? The little magazine, the TV, now everything's so different. But now, this is no longer entertainment. This is no longer television. This is the world we live in. This has become reality instead of an imaginary world out there. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and read with me. In fact, if you're able to stand, we're just going to read one verse together. Stand with me and let's read in unison verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know, we ought to know that. We ought not to be surprised. We ought not to be taken off guard. In the last days, perilous times might come. No, they shall. They will. They definitely will come. And they are here. And we're just beginning to see what's going to be unfolded in the next coming years. And I understand what the Bible says, and I know we can't know the details, but we can certainly see the handwriting on the wall and the direction we're going and the fast track downhill. We need to be focused and ever more realizing the day that we live in and make sure our hearts are right with God. Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God tonight. And God, I pray that you'd help us to learn some simple things from this great passage of Scripture that could transform our life if we learn to memorize and meditate on the Word of God and focus on the things of God instead of the worries and the problems and the cares of this life and this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. I'm talking about living in the last days. There is no question in my mind that we are living at the end of time. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We are certainly coming to the close of the age of the Gentiles. I'm not sure how it's all going to play out. All I know is what God tells us in the Word of God, and we'll never know the details until it's passed. Don't try to speculate. Don't try to figure everything out. But we can certainly see the groundwork being laid out. But I want you to notice that little phrase, last days. Now, when you follow that phrase through the Bible, you need to understand that's talking about the entire, what we call the Christian age. Or the church age. I prefer the term Christian age. From between the time of Jesus' first coming to his second coming. It's very key and important as far as our doctrine. We understand that's what that phrase means. A couple examples in Hebrews chapter number 1 and verses number 1 and 2. And God says, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers and prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In other words, when Jesus first came to the world, that started the last days. The phrase of time that in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18 and 20, this is just a few places where that phrase is found in your New Testament. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 20 says, For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that good? And he says, Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, revealed to us, which is what prophecy is. He was shown to us or revealed to us in these last times for us. In other words, when Jesus came, that began the last times. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1 through 3, just a book before where we read, in 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 through 3 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, clearly, definitely, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's not unique to today's world. That started at the time of Christ. We see that in the book of Acts and through the writings of Paul. And he says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Does that sound familiar from some that were raised in a religious background? The minnow munchers, they call them in town. I don't call them that, but folks in that background do. Which God hath created to be revealed with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Now, not only are we living in the last days, I believe in this chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, that we are living at the end of the last days. Why do you know that? Look down at verse number 13. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the major news networks, conservative and liberal news networks. They're deceiving and they're selling you a product and causing more division. I learned that a long time ago when Rush Limbaugh, remember him? Is he still around? I just use him for an example because that's what I learned by watching him. He's selling me a product. He's a Mr. Conservative, and now all these other folks have sprouted out from him and everything else. But in reality is, we're living at the end of time, and you can see it by the divisive spirit, the spirits of devils, the seducing spirit, the deceitfulness on both sides of every issue today. Someone said, and I like this, I jotted it somewhere down, I think in one of my old Bibles, I don't remember who it originated with, but it said, when small men cast large shadows, the sun is beginning to set. By the way, that's the internet world. Small men cast large shadows. When everybody's an expert, and everybody, my wife and I joke about this sometimes, that I can come up with any kind of crazy idea and put it out there on the internet, and pretty soon I'm going to have 5 or 6 followers, and if it's really crazy and bizarre and I'm selling some good products, I'll have thousands of followers and I'll be casting a big shadow, but I am just a nobody with some silly, foolish doctrine. And it's a very popular thing to do. When small men cast large shadows, the sun is beginning to set. You know, I've never been, to be quite honest with you, I grew up in an age when I was saved, that there's a lot of teaching on prophecy, a lot of preaching on prophecy, and I stood back and looked at it, and I have become a student of history and a student of the Bible over the years, and I see there's a lot of hype and a lot of drama added to it that ought not to be there. And a lot of false teaching when it comes to prophecy gets large followings, but it's not always biblical. And I've never been too keen on digging in and knowing all the details of Sprout and knowing who the five tails, toes of Daniel's feet are, the feast of statue of Nebuchadnezzar that we talked about this morning, and knowing all the details of things and speculating, and that changes from year to year depending on what's going on. And it's the wrong way to study prophecy. But I've never really been a fan of studying prophecy, but I have noticed this as I study the Bible. I don't need to look outside of the church house. In fact, I don't need to look outside of my own life to know that we're living in the end of the end times. The spirit of Laodicea is so common today in every one of our lives, if we're honest. It's so easy to put off your Bible study. It's so easy to put everything above memorizing the Bible, isn't it? It's so easy to put off prayer. I see that we're at the end. That spirit is so prevalent. Who would have ever thought that we'd live in a day where you've got to beg people to read their Bible? You've got to beg people to study their Bible. You've got to beg people to memorize Scripture. And I read the old-timers, they couldn't get enough of this. They'd forsake everything to dig into this book. They'd leave family and leave everybody behind to go preach the gospel. Now we need to be comfortably tucked in at night We're living in the last day. Let me just read some things. I just want to read through this chapter and encourage you. Let me get that out of the way because I don't like that shadow there. I encourage you to spend some time in this chapter. I'd encourage you to step outside of that Laodicean spirit where I don't really care. It's no big deal. So what? My neighbors are lost and going to hell. So what? My family members are lost and going to hell. I'm more concerned about if they got the vaccine or if they who they voted for or what they think of this, whatever the pet thing is that comes up today. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Look at what it says there. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And tell me you don't see that in our world today. Tell me you don't see it in our lives today. Covetous, boasters, proud. I know the answers. I've got it right. Look at me. I'm the great Christian. I love that song that we sang earlier. Lord, I need you. I find myself singing that song often when I'm talking to the Lord in prayer. I need Him more than I could ever realize. Boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at it there. Without natural affection. It's not normal. It's not natural. God created male and female. We live in a world today that's promoted everything that's not natural. It's not normal. Truce breakers. False accusers. That's a political scene. You know, I long to see the day I did see it. And again, I don't watch these things on a regular basis. I was watching for one thing in the political debates this year, the president, the vice president, and some of those got all wrapped up in all that. I said, for once in my life, I want to see somebody say something positive about their opponent. Huh? Instead of everything negative. For once in my life, I want to see a Democrat say something positive about a Republican. Or vice versa. It ain't going to happen. Because we're falsely accusing. And all of a sudden, because I don't agree with their political position, they're the worst person on the face of the earth. You know, wasn't that long ago when political opponents, they get up and debate and then they go out to dinner together after the debate. They used to be able to be civil to each other. But now that's something far in the past, and the more we get close to the end, the more we're going to see that, where everybody's choosing sides and joining in the battle that they don't even know what the battle is, but it sure is fun to fight. Without false accusers, making up stories to make their side, to sell their product, and to make you want to watch the next great thing that they've discovered themselves. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. God says, from such turn away, just walk away. Would to God that the prayer meeting was something that was important to us again, that prayer was a top priority in our life again, that if we could believe God that He would answer prayer. Instead of, oh, we got to figure this out, we got to go and I guarantee you announce that you're going to have some political rally and you get more Christians to attend that than you get Christians to attend a prayer meeting. And more folks worked up over that than fasting and praying for revival in America today. For this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins. I can get myself in trouble by talking about that. You may have noticed this before. If you're married, I hope you've noticed it by now. Garrett, you may have already noticed it, and you're not quite married yet. Women are a little bit more emotional than men. No, you never know that, would you? It's sad that, a lot of men are... What? Led captive by silly women. the hysteria of our day, and that's a word that a lot of feminists are trying to outlaw. You study where that word hysteria comes from. Now, the overreaction, the drama of today. And to be quite honest with you, any time I watch any kind of newscast, and whether it's on the internet or on the television or listening on the radio, I think it's hilarious because I'm seeing the drama. How they magnify everything's a whole lot worse when it involves poor, innocent little children. All of a sudden, you know, somebody dies in a car accident, and that's terrible. But when there's children involved, and it's always said with a dramatic effect, and it makes the drama. And I thought, well, we ought to come up with a drop the drama. Forget the drama. That'd get all of us off of social media, wouldn't it? We wouldn't know what to do. Silly women laden with sins. Isn't it amazing how we've got our own share of problems, but we've got to blame and look at everybody else. And laden, led away with diverse lusts. The lusts of the flesh are so prevalent today. I was going to bring something along this line this evening, and I'll just insert a little bit of thought here. I was at a meeting a while back, and the preacher was talking about, and he's about my age, he said, it used to be, when you go to youth conference or preaching conferences of any time, there was somewhere during that 2-3 day conference or during that week-long meeting, there was a message devoted specifically, especially to young people, on keeping yourself pure. Living a godly, wholesome, pure life, physically, sexually, mentally, keeping your thoughts right. We don't talk about that a lot anymore. But it's something that is far lacking, and we see so many people falling to the lusts of the flesh in our world today. Preachers falling to the lusts of the flesh. And by the way, every one of us, as long as we live in this flesh, we need to be on guard of that constantly. And you hear the criticism, if there's a crowd that you see it happening in such and such a group or a church, or if you don't like that crowd, you can find a whole lot of accusations there and a whole lot of sin in that camp. In any camp, it's there. Doesn't matter if it's our camp, and if there's one case, it's far too many. This church has been affected in the past by immorality. How we need to emphasize keeping ourselves pure. So many are destroyed by diverse lusts, by not keeping their flesh in check. And part of the reason, I think, is because we don't spend enough time to memorize God's Word and meditate in God's Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. And we're not hiding God's word in our heart. We're leaving ourselves open. Oh, it can't happen to me. We're as foolish as Peter saying, I'd die before I ever deny you. Before the sun goes down, we've already denied him. If we think we can do the battle on our own and we don't need God's help, we're led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because we already know the answer. One of our children, I won't tell you who, most of you know already, say, oh, we got to get this kid over this. Every time he tried to, I know. Be quite honest with you, it broke my heart every time I heard it. But, well, you need to get beyond that before God can work on you. When we think we know something, we've got to the place where God can no longer work in our life. And now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate, I always think of that word as beyond redemption. The actual word here, and I've done a little study on it, with no discernment, no idea of right and wrong, and that's the day that we live in today. But they shall proceed no further, and their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was also was. And by the way, when you talk about the sins of the world and the divorce and the immorality and the things that are going on in our world, the sad reality is, if we want to, whether we want to admit it or not, Christian people, the statistics are almost the same with those that are faithful in the regular church as they are in the world. You say, well, we are different than the world. Oh, are we really? The only difference is what we do with this book. We can come to church, we can believe certain things, but unless we're in the Word of God and letting the Spirit of God control our life and transform our heart and our mind, we're going to fall in the same sin the rest of the world does, because we're feasting on the same junk that the world's feasting on. We're watching the same entertainment, news and entertainment. We're watching the same, filling our minds with the same philosophy, listening to the same education and the same mentality, playing the same games and doing the same thing to the world. We're going to fall in the same trap that they're falling into. And that's why there's very little difference in Christianity, because Christians are too enamored with the world than they are digging into the Word of God. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest to all men as theirs was also. Talking about Jannes and Jambres, we won't go into who they were. But thou hast fully known. This is where it gets real good. But you have fully known my doctrine. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who spent years traveling and ministering alongside of Paul. You've fully known my doctrine. You've watched my life. You've stood with me. You know my strong points and my weak points. And by the way, Paul was not sinless. Paul had sins and weak points just like everyone else. And he told Timothy, you know what they are. You know me better than anybody knows me. And probably Timothy knew the Apostle Paul better than anybody on this earth. And he said, you've known not only my doctrine, but my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, the things that I struggle with, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions and afflictions. You were there with me, with many of them, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium. He mentioned some specific places. We won't go back and look at them in the book of Acts, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Aren't you glad the Lord's there to deliver us? Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We think we're suffering persecution when somebody looks at us funny when we say we're Christian. That ain't persecution. We're talking about what folks are doing, Christians are going through right now in Afghanistan. That's persecution. By the way, that's coming our way. And I don't mean be an alarmist, but are we ready for the persecution that we deserve as a nation? It won't happen to us because we're Christians. Be careful. Look at the Old Testament prophets, what they endured when God judged them. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise we don't like to focus on, isn't it? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. For the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now those lessons you learned as a child. And I hope that young people, you're paying attention to those lessons, that you're hiding God's Word in your heart, because that's going to make the difference between where you are today and where you will live as an adult. And if you can't hide God's Word in your heart as a child, you're going to have a struggle living for God the rest of your life. Remember that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, not only the saving of your soul, but the salvaging of your life. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We're living in the last days. We're living in the end times, and we can see it in the spirit of Christian, in our spirit, when we jump into that divisiveness and jump into the debates of this and that, well, I'm not taking this because it's the mark of the... They are studying what the mark of the beast is. There's probably 100 things that we could say are the mark of the beast that we've just willingly accepted. They're just a part of our life, and we just take them for granted. I won't go any farther that right now, but we're going to get into some things. And Daniel, later in the book of Daniel, talked about three gods that were unknown to him. And I'm not sure which three they are, because I can immediately think of about 5 gods that every one of us worship. We couldn't live without. And Daniel knew nothing about those gods, but they are a part of our life today. I'll get to that eventually, but we live in a day today where we are so deceived because we're not giving ourselves to this book. And I just determined when this whole COVID silliness started that I'm going to focus only on this book and telling people about Jesus. I'm not going to get wrapped up in all the conspiracies. There are a dime a dozen out there, depending on which one you want to follow. And forget all that silliness. Focus on what we know is true. If somebody's selling you something, you know that... Yeah, they're selling you a product. They're making a living. I learned as far as the Bible. There's one Bible that I use because the main reason I realized as a baby Christian, this is the one that's good for me because it doesn't have a copyright on it. Nobody's making a profit off of this. That settled it for me right there. Somebody's selling you something and they're doing a commercial. Forget that. They're trying to get a gathering together. I want to know the truth, and the truth doesn't come with a price. The truth is free. The truth is in Jesus Christ. The truth is in the Word of God. If we stand for the truth, there's a price that we're going to pay. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But I want to make sure I'm persecuted for standing for God's truth and not my idea of truth. Well, I think that this is something, wait a minute. If it's not spelled out, last I read through the Bible, I guess twice, I imagine, since this COVID thing started, and I can't find COVID in the Bible, so I'm not much worried about it. Huh? The things that we get so distracted and so focused on, in fact, I haven't found a Democrat or Republican in the Bible either. Not too worried about that. But I have found Jews and Gentiles. I have found lost and saved, and I see a lot of folks around me that need to be saved. And I do know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. And we can try to convince the blind what color things are, but a blind person can't see. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's not going to understand spiritual things until he's born again. Let's focus on getting them saved and showing them the truth of the Word of God. And let God take care of the rest. Let me give you one more thought and I'll be done. We're not going to change the course that this world is taking. We can resist it. We can do all we can to prepare, but there ain't no preparing for what's ahead. Jesus is the one that's preparing for us. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. That's the preparing. I'm a prepper. I'm looking to Jesus' preparation. Huh? I'm trusting in his preparing. I love America, and I pray that there'd be a revival in America, but it's stemming on God's people, and God's people are too busy fussing about this and that instead of focusing on this book. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's where revival starts. But as long as we think we know, as long as we say, oh, I know, I've got all the answers, I don't have any answers. Oh, we need to seek God like never before. You know, I'm not, even though I know enough about the corona stuff to know that the vaccine's not a preventative. Very well-known figure in the state just got diagnosed with COVID-19 and they've already had the vaccine. It's a joke, as far as I'm concerned. But if it will help me to love people and preach the gospel, I'll take your silly vaccine, even though it ain't going to do nothing. It's not going to cause me to grow a third arm or whatever the nearest thing is. It's not going to change the way my heart beats. I'm not going to start walking backwards or grow six ears out the back of my head. That would be kind of handy, as long as they work. It'd be better to hear, but whatever. If it's going to allow me to preach the gospel, I'll do it. That's a very small price to pay. If it's going to make people have whatever, it's not that big of a deal. Well, this is my body. I don't know about you, but since I got saved, I realized this body ain't mine. It's His. It's His body. And if He wants me to preach the gospel, I'll preach the gospel. If He wants me to die for the gospel, I'll die for the gospel. Some folks are so worked up about things that really in the long run, if Paul was as concerned about his safety in his day as we are today, we'd have no Bible today. If the apostles were concerned about their safety and their well-being as we are today as Christians in America, we'd have no Bible to hold to. Jesus would have had no disciples. Our life isn't that dear. To us, it's His. We belong to Him. And we're living in the last days, and we need to turn our attention off of ourselves and back on to Him and back into His Word and give ourselves completely and wholly to His Word. I'm just sharing with you what God was dealing with me about. And every day, God gives me a couple of messages that He just preaches to me when I'm talking to Him in prayer. Get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes off of your rights and be a servant. A servant has no rights. Doesn't matter what a servant feels like. He's there to serve. It's not about him. It's about the one he serves. And oh, that we would be servants of Jesus Christ and live for him and sell ourselves out for him completely in these last days. You say, I'd die for him, but are we willing to live for him? I love him. I'm thankful we have a Bible that's written and preserved by God himself. But if I'm not reading and studying and memorizing this Bible, what good does it do me? I'd rather have a Bible that man has wrote. If it's changing my life and I'm memorizing it, it's doing more good than having the right Bible and not memorizing and meditating and studying it like we ought to. Let's seek God like never before. We're living in the last days. The perilous times are upon us. And the things that we often get focused on are just the silly little side issues. Let's focus on the main issue that Jesus is coming again. And those that are lost without Christ are going to be lost for eternity. And it's up to us to get the message out to them, to reach them before it's too late. I ask you to stand if you will.